On the hot seat right now, as he checks in with us every week, is Minister of Jobs, Economy and Innovation, Doug Schweitzer. And Doug, you know what? Normally we don't start off with the baseball note, but I think at this time we're kind of obliged to. Last night, George Springer ends up inking a 6-year deal with the Jays. Another former Astro, and Michael Brantley joins him as well, giving a nice, you know, right-handed, left-handed combination. And saying that, too, before we start talking about trash can banging, you know what? Springer is actually one of the guys whose numbers did not decline after all that came out. This could work out really well.
You know, this is like a bet on the future for the Blue Jays. I mean, they've got that young, you know, kind of core group that's coming up. You've got, you know, Bichette, and you've got Guerrero, and you've got Pearson. And then now you're adding some of that veteran strength, and not just for short-term, but for a long-term deal, 5-6 years. You actually could see the beginning of a little bit of a, you know, a Blue Jays playoff push for years to come. So this is exciting to see. And you know, if you and I were talking about this before, if they can get Trevor Bauer on top of that and get a big arm to anchor their bullpen, this could be a contender. They could be a contender.
Yeah, that should be real interesting. I mean, obviously pitching is still something that they're going to have to figure out there. But still, at the end of the day, at least San Diego, I guess, was nice enough to let the Jays actually have a couple of players, as they really started the offseason off aggressive. And now at that point, too, I'm wondering if the Dodgers are sitting back and thinking, you know what, San Diego's really improved. We need to do something here.
But you know what, with the Dodgers, I mean, they won the World Series last year without David
right.
Price. And now David Price is back pitching again. Like this guy is like Cy Young caliber when he's on and when he's healthy. And the Dodgers have added David Price to their starting rotation. So that's a huge addition to where they were. They've got Mookie Betts lined up for a long-term deal. You know, they've got to get Clayton Kershaw taken care of. But you know what? Like the Dodgers still have a pretty rock-solid foundation, and they've added a big arm to their starting rotation.
Yeah, they sure have, and that should be very interesting to see where that goes from there. And I know one of the things that I saw here, Minister, moving on, I guess, to the innovation side of things, I did not know that it was Kid Inventors Day over the weekend. So I saw that you and your colleague, Minister LaGrange, had made a statement about that. And I mean, one of the things that I remember talking about that on Kids Inventors Day was that the opportunity to teach things like artificial intelligence, machine-based learning, a lot of these new trends that we're starting to see emerge in the business world, do you think there's ever a possibility to maybe put those in our high school and elementary school curriculum so kids can, you know, start really learning and loving these skills?
Well, you know, Alberta has one of the most diverse, you know, education platforms in the entire country when it comes to charter schools. We've got the Catholic school system. We've got the public charter school system, public school system. And just this last week as well, there was an announcement of a new STEM school. So science, technology, all of those different things that go into it. So a new STEM school opening up in Alberta for young people to go and learn about different skill sets and make sure that they have those applied science skills. So I just think that for so many young people, the advancements are just real. They're tangible. They can do it from home now with so many technologies. And I think you and I have talked about before, but there's this really interesting math platform called Math Prodigy, where kids play basically an online role-playing video game, but in order to cast their magic, they have to do math programs or problems. And it's really starting to see huge improvements in the students that use this program. So it's really, and it's
wow.
go with the student's progress. So as a student improves, they get harder questions. So, and it really, and it identifies, you know, challenge areas. And so these different tools that are out there to help keep our kids, you know, at the forefront of innovation and tools, it's so much different than when you and I were kids.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you and I were kids, we'd had that big, like, floppy disk with the donut hole in the center, and, you know, you'd always have to blow on it to get the dust off to make sure it would load. I remember those days well, you know, Corel Word Perfect.
Yeah, Oregon Trail. Don't forget about Oregon Trail back in the day.
Exactly. So things have changed. They've definitely changed. And very interesting to talk about that is now, I mean, back in the day when I was thinking of a tablet, I was thinking of probably like a Flintstones chewable. Life has really changed. So I guess another thing, too, and I know you and I have talked about this, and obviously disappointing with it's inauguration day today. And I guess symbolizing the peaceful transition of power in the democratic world is always a good thing. But one order of business, and I remember you and I discussed this, and you didn't think it was likely that he would do it, but apparently, according to the Canadian press, signing that executive order to cancel the border crossing of Keystone XL looks very real for Joe Biden. I can imagine the concern over with that the government.
Yeah, this is really quite concerning. We were hoping to at least be able to have a conversation with, you know, now President Biden about the Keystone XL. The last we've heard is that he's likely just going to sign an executive order effectively terminating Keystone XL, which would then trigger years of litigation and trade, issues and disputes. So we're hoping that we can still get this done today, but it doesn't look likely, which is unfortunate for all Albertans. I mean, we need that pipeline. It's just going to mean that more product's going to be shipped by rail, which isn't as safe as pipelines. But again, it just also goes to show that we have to get the Trans Mountain TMX pipeline built. That is, progressing well right now. Continued construction continues to go on that project. That's critical for the future of Alberta to make sure that we can continue to produce oil and gas here in our province. And the one thing that I would also mention too is that, the oil sands production is recovering. Pricing does seem to be positive. We're hearing some good news from companies being able to raise money again. For so long, it was difficult to raise money. We are starting to see the beginning of some capital being able to be raised as prices have improved. So again, it's one of those good news, bad news kind of types of stories. We're going to have to come up with further ways to get our products to market. We actually have found some really interesting things. So like the first shipment of kind of a solidified bitumen product was shipped. So there are some products that are being done in an innovative way to help get, kind of that egress and get our products to market dealt with. And so there are some good innovations that are coming online, but it is disappointing to see that pipeline likely get canceled here today.
And I know you've mentioned the name James Rajot and other players down in the Washington area who are advocating for the province. I'm guessing at this point you're hoping that maybe they could pull out a Hail Mary here and do something to maybe change the mind, or is the government preparing for the reality that this is likely to be canceled?
Well, James Rajot's like the Alberta ambassador to Washington, D.C., and he and his team have been working for months and months on this file. They've got, they've engaged a team of advisors, they've been engaging people from the unions, they've been engaging elected officials, members of Congress, people that were likely going to go into the cabinet. They've been doing everything possible to put our best foot forward, and, hopefully, today doesn't go the way we think it might go, but he and his team have done good work, and we appreciate all their effort.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I mean, and here's actually something too, and that a question that we got in here, person didn't want to leave their name, but one thing they did say is talking about diversifying the energy mix, and the person says, not shutting down oil and gas, definitely not, but diversifying the energy mix. And you know what, even I could add something to that, is that I know the government did sign an MOU with other provinces to study small modular nuclear reactors, and the towns of Grimshaw and the NDFPs are strongly considering that and are already starting exploratory efforts on that. I guess number one, do you see that the small modular reactors can really take off? And number two, do you think that there's a good opportunity here to diversify that energy mix?
You know what? I do think there's a big role for us to play in small modular nukes. It's really still cutting edge technology that's still being developed to make sure it's commercialized or can be commercialized. But everybody seems to really be talking about it in an optimistic way. The science is a little bit beyond me, other than the fact that when you
Fair.
Talk about molten salt and they can cool these things and bring them in and out, like it's very futuristic when you hear about it.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's within arm's reach. So I do think that Alberta needs to position itself in this area, and I do think it'd be a good way to help and it be environmental leaders and continue to produce power that's needed for a modern society.
Yeah, no doubt. It should be very interesting as we see what happens with that going forward. And even that, too, I guess I really do want to go back to that Kids Innovation Day. And I'm just wondering, almost this would be kind of something fun, let's see, I know you got a lot of the science fairs and things like that, and maybe as Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, you have to see it. But, when you and I would have our science fairs, maybe we'd have, salt in a bowl and hope that maybe it makes a weird noise or something like that. Today, kids are coming up with, almost like Star Wars-type technology. So do we notice, is it just me, or is the inventions that the young people coming up with just getting better and better and more advanced?
Well, it's interesting. It's just I kind of take a look back at, when I was younger, it was, if a kid could throw 90 miles an hour in baseball, that was, in high school, that was considered to be really, really exceptional. Now you have kids throwing 100 miles an hour in high school. And the training is just better and better, and the opportunities to connect online and find best practices. Like if you want to do a science project now as a kid at a really high level, you can Google a video and get a whole, half hour tutorial on how to help take your science project to that next level. So technology, the ability to learn, the ability to access some of the smartest people around the world is just at the fingertips for kids. So it doesn't surprise me that their science projects are a lot better than our volcanoes that we used to do, paper mache volcanoes. that you and I used to try and do when we were kids.
That's exactly what I did, except actually mine in kindergarten, I made a papier-mâché monster with, like, felt teeth. That was my big creation, and I don't know what happened to Norman the Orange-Headed Monster. But that's a different story for another time. So, you know what, I never like doing this, but I guess I do kind of owe you bragging rights. Our teams did meet, and... yeah, Buffalo does look like the real deal, and now with Patrick Mahomes possibly in concussion protocol, that's no cinch for Kansas City. Buffalo really could emerge.
I'm going with the Bills for the Super Bowl win. They're gonna finally get that Super Bowl in Buffalo. When we were kids, you know, they had that one that clanged off the uprights.
Norwood. Yeah,
it's time for the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
That's true. Fair enough. I mean, you know what? To go four times in a row is something really amazing. But I guess it should be real interesting to see how they do. Good conference matchups this weekend. What about in the NFC? I mean, old man Brady's still doing it. He's older than us.
You know what's funny? Somebody put out a really funny stat is that Tom Brady's been in the NFC for 1 year, and he's in the NFC Championship his first year. The Dallas Cowboys haven't been there for about 25 years.
Oh, it's true.
and the Cowboys have spent a lot of money, and they haven't been there in 25 years. Tom Brady takes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
If you look at the prestigious, you know, teams in the NFL, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dallas Cowboys, and Tom Brady does it in year one. So I just think, he's just a legend. That guy just doesn't seem to age, and that's going to be an exciting game.
Drew Brees, I don't think he's announced it yet. Is he going to come back one more year, or is this it?
I think he's retired. He was pretty emotional when he left there.
Yeah.
He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game, but I think some of the injuries are starting to catch up to him.
Yeah, no doubt. And once again, those two quarterbacks, the only two where you could say they're both older than you and me. So you know what? They both earned their keep, that's for sure. Minister, always appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
This is Minister of Jobs, Economy, Innovation, Doug Schweitzer, talking a little bit of innovation and economy as well as sports talk. And this is another edition of The Hot Seat.